Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighbourhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everybody, this is Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
Boop, 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 boop.
And she did that. Missed you guys.
Oh, here we are again. We're doing with our bi-weekly schedule.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. If you guys didn't know, like, that's our thing now. Like, yeah. It's in writing.
We're going to be in every other Tuesday.
Every other Tuesday.
Every other Tuesday, you get a dose of Med Crimes, and it's going to be amazing.
I hope you love us.
Because we love you.
I hope you'll miss us on the other 13 days that we're not released.
Because I miss us on those 13 days that we're not going to be releasing. I wish we could release stuff multiple times a day, every day.
Oh, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Wouldn't that be
you
nice?
You might get sick of us.
Devin and I went camping together this weekend.
We did.
So if you missed our Instagram live, so did I, because somehow I was not able to retrieve that on Instagram. What?
Is that a thing with Instagram? I think when you're live and
maybe.
It stops, it goes away.
Yeah,
like your live
like
is legit live and then it's gone.
I think you're probably right.
As you can tell, we're not social media gurus.
But we'll get there with your help. And
like
a lot
the
more
Facebook
practice.
Lives stay.
Yeah. Facebook Lives do stay. Yeah, Instagram is a whole nother animal though. But hey, it's nice and cool down in the basement. It's hot in my house. So
I
love
camping. Can we go back to that tangent?
I know.
And that was my family's first camping trip.
Congratulations.
I got to write that down in a journal somewhere, but there's a lot of things I have to write down in a journal. Like, I'm pretty sure my journal doesn't even know that Andrew's born.
Oh, God.
It's been busy the last 20-something months.
I mean, that does happen.
Yep.
Now, if I do sound just a little bit extra sexy this time around, it's because I am still recovering from having the flu. Which is really gross and terrible.
She did have the flu.
I did.
Ew. Gross.
So, we're on the up and up. It's getting out of my house. I just sound gross.
We've been like all sorts of bugs.
The kids. They're petri dishes. Ugh. It's awful.
Gross.
Yeah.
Kate told me that this story is awesome, creepy, and gross.
Yeah, and I also said, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to tell you his name, so you cannot Google him. Because this was actually a Patreon request. So thank you to the person that requested it. And I Googled it and immediately was like, this happened? And we have to talk about this.
I'm intrigued.
I know.
I'm so intrigued. And I have no idea who the person is.
Yeah.
And I at least before usually get a name and like
Nothing.
A tagline.
So I will tell you his name is Carl Tansler.
Tansler.
And I typically do like a little blurb, like when I start these things with like, so-and-so was a, you know, American blah, 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 who did this, 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 and this. And then I tell the story. I'm not going to do that this time.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Because I'm just going to let it all unfold. I don't want to spoil the surprise for Devin. Her eyes are a whole situation.
I want to talk about our Patreons.
Me too.
That's what I want to do.
We have a lot of
you guys. We have six new Patreons.
We are new Patreons. So but honored and humbled, and thank you so 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 much,
all dude. The support has been like,
it's been incredible,
amazing.
We are
before we announce our six new ones, somebody's gonna get a second shout out.
Okay, so go ahead. I had sent out stickers recently to our Patreons, and there was one Patreon who, when I was writing out her name on the envelope, like her address, I noticed that her name was spelled a lot differently than I had initially read it. And I went back and I listened to that episode that I announced her name on and was like horrified to realize that I announced her name wrong. So,
and I'm really glad that she's still a Patreon and didn't too. Just say, wow, you just like screw you guys.
And it's not like it's a hard last name to say, it's that no. I glanced at it and clearly just read it wrong. And I am so, so sorry that happened.
She's but getting a redo.
I am. So, Kayla Cropper, not Cooper, Cropper. I am so sorry that I did that to you, and thank you so much for continuing to be a Patreon after I butchered your rather simple last name.
You're adorable.
I am.
To our new Patreons, Stephanie Foster.
Stephanie Foster, thank you. We love
you. Thank you.
Jennifer Turner.
Jennifer Turner.
We also love you, Jennifer Turner.
Jessica Escalera. Whoa.
I know.
Wow. That doesn't happen often.
I love your name, Jessica Escalera.
Alicia Rochelle.
Alicia Rochelle, thank you. And we have Beth Walsh. Thank you, Beth.
No purr after that name.
Yeah, also for all of you.
And Ashley Worm.
Ashley Worm, thank you.
Welcome all of you to the family.
Hashtag Patreon fam. We love you guys. Thank you so, so, so much. Welcome. We hope you enjoy.
We're loving the fam. Hope you guys are enjoying some of the little exclusivity that you get. You got Dr. Klein's episode early. You got stickers. There's Patreon giveaways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
There'll be more coming.
So, without further ado. Carl. Which I find that I say every time. I think that's my new friend, my new phrase. Without further ado.
I feel like it was somebody's phrase before yours.
Oh, it definitely was. I'm just making it mine now.
Okay. Got it.
Plagiarism and stuff.
So without further ado. So Carl.
Carl Tansler. Now, he is a German-born radiology technologist. Just so you know. So
he was born in Germany.
Yep, he was born in Germany. So he actually went by a few different names. So there were names that I found. He went by George Carl Tansler. He also went by Carl Tansler von Kossel at one point.
Von Kossel.
But on his death certificate, this is listed. He is listed as Carl Tansler. So from what we can tell of his early life, he was born Carl Tansler on February 8th. 1877 in Dresden, Germany.
1877.
Yeah, I told you. So I do a lot of like modern cases, like within the last 40-ish years or so. I really wanted to do something.
I think
old-timey.
This would be our oldest case.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. For
good
sure.
Job.
Thank you.
This is like, this guy was born 8 years after my house was built.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my odd fact for the day.
Okay. Thank you, Devin.
Welcome.
So he was born Carl Tansler in February 8th, 1877 in Dresden, Germany. He grew up in Imperial Germany, but really spent his formative years and a lot of his childhood traveling and living like in many different parts of the world. So I don't actually have a shitload of information on his childhood and like his parents or his siblings.
Well, and what records are there from 1877?
Very little. So I apologize for not having more information, but also he traveled, you know, the world. So it was hard to say exactly what
he was well traveled.
So Tanzler did spend, I think, his first few years anyway, in Germany. And he apparently spent time in Australia around the time of World War I, where he might have even been held in detention for a period of time. There's some records that reflect that, apparently. Mm. So he did some journaling during his childhood. And so we got some accounts of like where he ended up. We know that he was in Italy for a time. We know that he was in Australia for a time. Really all just by his journals. Accounts of the past.
Thanks for keeping those, dude.
Yeah, thanks, bro. So he did this
journaling. What else did he keep in his journals?
He didn't pull the Swango weirdness. All right, and that's he did not
you,
scrapbook.
So you saw where I was going with that
I knew
that
exactly
one.
Where you were going right. with that. Yep.
Does he have a death book?
No, this is not a death book. It is weird for another reason, though, because he did describe in his journals that he was plagued by many visions, and he had dreams as a child that he took very seriously, and he claimed that he met many of his ancestors in his visions and dreams. And his ancestors would like talk to him and tell him what to do and what not to do. And he was just very like consumed by this, which is kind of weird.
I mean, initially it sounds kind of cool. Huh.
So that's basically where he took it. He was like, yeah, I mean, they're my ancestors. So they know what's
up.
So
he took something ideal that's kind of cool to psycho.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Okay. He definitely, that's a running theme here.
All right.
So now there was one vision in particular that had a huge impact on him. This was like probably around his teen years or preteen years. So an ancestor of his apparently came to him in this vision and showed him this woman. They showed him an image of this woman who had dark, like black hair and beautiful, smooth skin and just had the most beautiful face and was like this angel. Like she was an angelic beauty. And his ancestor...
I'm not seeing the problem here.
So his ancestor said, this is the woman you were going to marry. And that just, I mean, was it imprinted on his soul from
so he's
this
like
day
12,
forward.
13.
Yeah. And he had seen the woman that he quote unquote was going to marry and was the love of his life and was going to be with him forever. And his ancestor had told him this. So he took it seriously and was like, this is the person that I'm going to marry and going to be in love with. So records do reflect that he actually married someone around year 1921 named Doris Schaefer. And
so he's like mid-40s. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Because didn't they get married young back then?
He was born in 1877.
Right. But yep. Didn't they back in that age get married young?
Yeah. Not him. Yeah. He also traveled like the world
a
lot.
That's right.
So it may have just been that he didn't settle down enough to like find that person. But he did marry Doris Schaefer in 1921. And records also reflect that Tanzler emigrated to the United States following that marriage. So in 1926 is when he first came to the United States. Where he ended up settling was in Zephyrillis, Florida. And so he and his wife actually stayed there for a period of time. They had two children, Aisha and Clarista. And both of them, unfortunately, died of diphtheria.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that awful? That's so sad. Ugh. Yeah. So,
get your Tdap.
I know. Honestly. Get your Tdap. They didn't have that. They didn't have a lot of things back then. We think about, you know, the pandemic now and how we feel so helpless. But, I mean, can you imagine living in this time where, like, diphtheria, and we're going to be talking about tuberculosis. Tuberculosis was everywhere. Mm. And, I mean, you get it, and pretty much you die. Like, yeah. You don't survive that.
Well, it's kind of like polio.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
Had, you know?
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So, now, very unfortunately, he did lose his two daughters to diphtheria.
That's very sad.
Yeah. So I did find conflicting information as many sources actually referred to him as a doctor or a radiologist, but I was not able to find any record that he attended any sort of formal schooling or education, and I found other sources referring to him as a radiologic technologist or an X-ray technician, one of the two. I know they have different roles now for that,
right?
But I think...
But back then, they might have been the same role.
Exactly. Back then, you know, the imaging that they had was basically X-rays.
Right.
So that's a large part of what he did. In 1930, he left his wife. And his kids, actually, because his kids were still alive at this point. His kids died like 2 years later.
Oh.
So he left his wife and he took a job as a, I think, a radiology technician or an X-ray technician at U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West, Florida, under the name Carl Tanzler. So this was his name, at least at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in the 1930s. So TB or tuberculosis was rampant in this part of the country at the time. And we didn't really have access, obviously, to any of the drugs that we have now to treat this. So being diagnosed with TB was often a very poor prognosis or, right. you know, you're going to die, fatal. Unfortunately. Yep. So for those of you who are not really familiar with tuberculosis and, you know, the whole vibe back then. The vibe of tuberculosis. So it's also referred to as TB. Often in these days, it was referred to as consumption, and you'll see why. It's a mycobacterial infection, which is most commonly found attacking the lungs, but it can actually also attack many different organ systems. It can attack the kidneys, liver, spine, joints. Not everyone who is exposed becomes actively sick, but the infection can remain latent for years and never cause an issue until all of a sudden it does. It's opportunistic in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone does have an active tuberculosis infection, it is quite contagious via air droplets. And when the infected person coughs or sneezes, they're just disseminating it throughout the room.
Mm-hmm.
And people who cohabitated, lived together, would often just go through families and kill entire families. Now, the symptoms, aside from the coughing and sneezing, include night sweats, high fevers, unintentional weight loss, and hemoptysis, or coughing up blood. So, I mean, these people, if they didn't die from the respiratory complications, they would literally waste away.
Right.
They would lose weight and, you know, become mm-hmm. so malnourished and cachectic that their organs would fail. So even today, it's pretty rare in the United States. It is tough to treat, even today. I mean, if you get diagnosed with active TB, you're committed to long courses of multiple different antibiotics.
Mm.
It's pretty complicated.
Right.
So that's what they were dealing with back then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Now, Carl met and helped treat many of these patients because a chest x-ray is a big part of the diagnosis of TB. Even today,
yes,
we would see
yes, it
the infiltrate on an x-ray. So that's what they used back then. Now, as a radiology tech, which I think is the term that I'm going to use to, you know, refer to him back then, I'm not exactly sure what the title of his role was. In 1930, x-ray, like I said, was a popular tool to use. And in fact, in terms of imaging, that was just about our only option. Now, CAT scan and CT imaging did not come about until about the mid-1960s. But the x-rays had started getting a little bit more sophisticated. They were actually starting to utilize like oral contrast for x-rays, like for gut x-rays. They could do that.
Don't we love the flavor of that stuff?
I've never actually had contrast.
Stop.
No, I haven't.
You've never had to drink the goop?
No, I have to order it for a lot of people, though.
Oh.
I deal it out. I can't take my own medicine.
I've never had it.
No?
Wow.
What does it taste like?
Goop.
Ew, really?
Grape flavored goop.
That's disgusting. Okay. So on April 22nd, 1930, a woman walked into U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West. She had brown eyes, jet black hair, and a beautiful face. Her name was Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. Mm-hmm. And she was a young Cuban-American woman. And by all accounts, she was like the local babe. I mean, she was.
So this is that girl.
This is that girl.
This is the girl.
He took one look at her and was like,
that's it. That's her.
This is her. This is the lady that came to me in my dream all those years ago. Now, Elena, she goes by Elena. I know her first name's Maria, but she goes by Elena. She was the daughter of a local cigar maker named Francisco Hoyos, and her mother's name was Aurora Milagro. Now, she had two sisters, Florinda and Celia. And
these names are beautiful.
I know. They're amazing. So on February 18th, 1926, Elena actually got married to somebody else named Luis Mesa. But Mesa actually left Elena shortly after they got married because she suffered a miscarriage.
Oh, no.
How awful is that?
Oh, prick.
I know. Prick is right. Jesus.
Ugh.
So actually, at the time of her death, Elena was still legally married to this guy.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was being brought in at the time by her mother because she had developed a cough with bloody sputum, weight loss, and fevers. And she obviously feared that her daughter had consumption or TB.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carl encounters her and is immediately struck, like I said, not only by her beauty, but because he recognized her immediately as the woman that he was plagued with visions of in his early years. And he immediately fixated on her and was convinced that she was the love of his life and that he was going to marry her and they were going to just be together forever and everything was going to be great. She was 22 years old, by the way.
That's a lot of pressure for her.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, and she comes in like on her deathbed, it sounds like.
I mean,
like.
She is not a well woman right now.
Right.
This is not going well. So the two begin talking and very quickly, Carl like professed his love for her. And again, now she was pretty sick at the time and appreciated his offers and his affections, but I found no accounts that she like was into him really or reciprocated anything.
Slow it down, Carl.
She was, I think, very polite.
Take a step back.
Yeah, I think she was like very polite and she, you know, didn't turn down like his gifts and his affection. And obviously she was literally dying, so she didn't feel well enough to, you know, really fight him off.
You know.
Right?
I'm just not feeling well today. Could you flirt tomorrow?
Yeah, can we put this off? I mean, literally. So, again, she was quite literally on her deathbed for much of their relationship. So, very quickly, once she was encountered, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And Carl was devastated. He was devastated. So, despite Carl having very little actual medical training and virtually no medical knowledge except for how to take an x-ray, he would not accept that his love was dying. And he had just met her, but he knew that the two were meant to be together forever and could not fathom that his love might actually be taken away from him so soon.
But I just met you.
I know. This is not cool.
Don't go.
Not okay. So...
I mean, that makes me feel sad for him.
Oh, yeah. I feel for the guy, so far. I really do. So he showers her and her mother and father and her sisters with, like, gifts and affection. And he became determined to single-handedly, like, save her from tuberculosis. So he started, like, mixing shit up. Like, mixing up tonics and, what? Like, order, like buying all these, like, snake oil, like, fake, ew, you know, tinctures and making these, like, elixirs. And he, like, fed her all of these different concoctions every day to, like, try to turn things around. He, how out of desperation.
So I know he was, like, in radiology, but that gave him access to her every day while she's in the hospital?
Oh, he was, like, visiting her. Like, she actually, like, died at home. She spent a lot of her time at home. Yeah.
And so she, like, just didn't have the energy to be like, please don't come to my house?
Well, I don't... There was nothing that said that they were really together, and she was very ill at the time. But I think her and her family were both very appreciative of the financial gestures and the gifts. And, I mean, her whole family was being showered in gifts by this guy.
Okay.
So I think...
I'm just like trying to understand.
They
the
were
grasp.
Kind of complacent to the whole thing.
Okay.
And didn't, you know, really bat an eye at it because they appreciated what he was doing for her and like how devoted he was.
Especially when she's in such a state.
Exactly.
Okay.
So at least I think that's sort of the impression that I got. Now, he's showering everybody in gifts, right? And he's trying all these elixirs and all these mixing up all this crazy shit and feeding it to her, trying to get her to get better. And out of desperation, he was, like, you know, just trying to find that, like, winning combination that no other doctor or scientist had yet identified as millions of people died of TB around the world.
That's, I'm sure they're probably doing right now trying for COVID.
Well, that's the thing. And he even brought, like, x-ray equipment to her home to, like, keep taking x-rays and, like, you know, that radiographic surveillance.
I'm sure that's doing really well for her, too.
Yeah.
That's helping.
So... he was giving her jewelry, books, clothing. Again, no real evidence that this was reciprocated, but I think that maybe she was a little desperate too. You know, I mean, she was sad and her family was upset.
And she's scared, I'm
and
sure.
And she's scared. And her family is like, you know, maybe this guy will stumble upon something that's going to help her get better. You never know. You
Could
know?
It hurt?
He's willing to devote this much time and energy to try to get her better. Like, who am I to say?
I mean, at this point, if she's... quote unquote, given a death sentence, like, what's it going to hurt?
Exactly. It's not going to hurt. So he did this for over a year. He barely left her side and did this every day, day in, day out for her for a year. And unfortunately...
That's a really long time.
I know.
Like...
To do that. To spend all your time and energy on that. That is a long time. Now, unfortunately, the TB continued to progress and she was consumed by it. And she passed away on October 25th in 1931. So sad. Now,
bummer.
Tansler, young. Obviously, yes, very young. And Tansler was obviously, you know, beside himself with grief.
Mm-hmm.
He offered to pay for her funeral. And he had grown very close with her family over this time.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered to commission the construction of this big, beautiful, like, above-ground marble mausoleum for her to be in. And so they, of course, obliged, you know. And so this was in Key West Cemetery in Key West, Florida. And this was built, and she
My cousin lives down there. I wonder if he can check it out for me.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
Although she's not there anymore. We're going to talk about it.
Oh.
So, she was late.
This just got weird.
You just wait, girl. You just wait. So, this was built.
What spin is this going to take?
Girl. Tansler visited this mausoleum that his love was laid to rest in every single day. And by all accounts, you know, he was like a shell of a man. He was no longer himself. He was absolutely beside himself with grief. He would spend time like sitting by, you know, the mausoleum and by her in her casket and like sing songs to her. He would talk to her like she's still alive. Like all those like really, like, I really can't move on type of things. Now,
it's so sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. Now, he was still having these visions, okay? And he had would later recount that she would come to him in visions and talk to him he was at her graveside. And that's why he went so often, because she would always come to him and talk to him.
Well, I guess you can't blame him.
Right? And so he would recount later that she said, take me home and take me away from take me out of my grave. Take me home. Bring me home to you. I want to come home with you.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So after almost 2 years of him going there every day and mourning her death, he decided eventually that their time together was absolutely not over. And on a warm evening in April of 1933.
A warm evening.
Carl it's Tansler, Florida.
Aren't they all warm?
Maybe more than others.
It's a detail on a warm evening.
That's why I said a warm evening, because I didn't even write that down. I just assumed it was warm because it's fucking Florida. It's always warm.
So on the warm evening.
Maybe warm evening. In April of 1933, Tansler went to the Key West Cemetery. He entered her mausoleum and opened her sarcophagus or what have you and removed her body. He had brought with him a toy wagon, which he put
radio
her...
flyer.
Was my first thought. Was is this a radio flyer?
Like the original radio flyer model?
It might be. He said he had just had a toy wagon. It probably was something similar. So, he put her on a toy wagon and rolled her. This was at night. Again, this was not a broad daylight or anything. This was at night. And he removed her body from the cemetery. He put her in his vehicle and he drove her home. Now, again, it has been 2 years since she died. And, you know, embalming practices back then.
I was just going to say.
I don't think were real sophisticated. So, I mean, she had deteriorated pretty, you know, considerably at this point. Now, as part of the preparation, I think what they did do is they removed the internal organs, like from the chest and the abdominal cavities. So they were like sunken. And her skin had definitely been decomposing, and her body was essentially beginning to lose its shape altogether at this point. Now, he filled her empty chest cavity and abdominal cavity with rags and plaster of Paris to help her maintain her natural shape. He dressed her in stockings, dresses, jewelry, and gloves. He would keep her body with him in his bed. She stayed in his bed all the time.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the romantic part of it, disgusting.
No, we're far away. You know, it was romantic when he was at her graveside for, you know, a long time. Yeah. This is not romance. Psychosis.
I'm thinking of the Notebook moment when they die in each other's bed holding their hands. But
nobody
let them go.
Nobody disinterred any bodies in The Notebook.
No.
The Notebook was a very romantic movie.
Thank you, Ryan Gosling,
Rachel McAdams, for both of you for not being gross. To cope with the odor, he would use disinfectants and copious amounts of perfume. And he would candles. Also... Yep. And he would also cider donut. And he would fill his home with fresh flowers all the time. The Oyo's family had remained close with Carl through all this, and when he abruptly stopped going to her gravesite, they noticed, because they went all the time too, and he was literally just always there. But then he just stopped. So they were like, I mean, okay, you know, maybe he's moved
on
a little bit.
Did they notice anything different?
Well, yes.
Wagon track marks?
So there's that, but also he had stopped showing up to work around this time, and he just lost his job. So he started.
So he legit just stayed in his place with his dead friend.
And
I mean,
he literally
they were really
became
not more than
a
that.
Recluse. He was a hermit. He never went out except to get supplies.
To keep the smell down.
Yeah. And gifts for her and stuff, and supplies for her to keep her dressed and fresh. And we'll talk about it.
Keep her dressed?
Yeah. So,
no.
Okay. So, as time went on, of course, she continues to decompose, and eventually he made and inserted glass eyes for her.
Okay, Can you tell me, like, why? Is he, like, opening her eyes?
I mean, who the hell knows what he actually
is he trying did. To make eye contact with her?
So what he's trying to do is restore her body to its original form, which original is impossible because she's actively decomposing.
So this is more than rigor mortis.
I know it. So her joints obviously begin to loosen as she, you know, decomposes. And he reinforced her loose joints using piano wire, essentially like holding her together. Oh. Yeah. And as her hair started to fall out of her decomposing scalp, he fashioned a wig out of her hair. And as her skin and soft tissues continued to deteriorate, he would apply mortician's wax to her face and body.
How long did this go on for?
To essentially patch it back together. Now,
he did this. Patch her skin back together?
Yeah, with wax. Yeah. So, he
was... Oh, honey, your cheek's falling. Let me just put that back. Let me just
put that back together.
What did I do with my wax?
That's literally how that was going. What? So, he was very reclusive, was a hermit, and doing this, just going out to buy, like, flowers and jewelry and women's clothes and,
more
and
wax.
Things like that. Mortician's wax, yes, exactly. And
you don't suppose they sell it at Walmart, do you?
I have no idea. So, he continued this meticulous reconstruction of her body and slept with her body in his bed every night for 7 years.
Devin's face. What?! Oh, man.
I know.
His did they cuddle? Did he cuddle her?
Oh, Devin, I think they did more than cuddle.
Oh, God, I might vomit. Oh.
Devin's face. This is the best.
So this is a 9-year-old dead body.
Yeah, she's been dead for 9 years. And so eventually, you know, the layers of wax, you know, got real thick. And she started looking, you know, like a doll. And he would paint her features on her face over the wax to make her look sort of like a mannequin or a life-size doll.
And, okay, I'm sorry. I have to say something.
Yeah.
There was a smell outside the home. Probably. There had to have been. That no spray or fresh flowers is going to... mask.
I know.
Come on, community? Like, did he live in the woods?
No, he did not live in the woods, but he was very reclusive at the time. The town all thought he was very weird because this guy only ever goes out to buy, like, women's items and flowers. And the rumors started to, like, circulate. I mean, it was like a running joke in the town that he just, like, had a dead body in his house.
I mean...
Yeah.
Oh! Uh-huh. 7 years?
Now, her sister, Elena's sister, Florinda, was never a huge fan of this guy. I mean, he knew that her sister was never really, like, into him, and as she did, like, appreciate his efforts and how much he seemed to care for her sister, she always felt that it was, like, a bit much, and, you know, he was kind of, like, just showering the family in gifts, and then, like, you know, he just seemed weird to her. Now, she started hearing, like, these rumors around town about this quote-unquote hermit guy, and that he was always buying women's clothing and jewelry and tons of perfume and flowers. And Florinda was like, I wonder if he for real took my sister's body out of the mausoleum and brought her home and is living with my sister's body.
So wait a minute. What made her come to that conclusion?
Because she was hearing the rumors. There's, like, rumors around town that, like, this hermit guy. Yeah. And then there's an event that comes up.
I know. But, like, there's rumors and whatever. But then, in all reality, like, are you really going to be like, is my sister actually in there?
Well, like, why else would he just, like, never leave his home and buy all these women's items. A blow-up
doll that he was trying to dress like her? Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
So, it all kind of culminated when a local boy was riding his bike in the area, and he happened to glance in Carl's window, and what he saw was Carl dancing with what appeared to be a life-sized doll or mannequin. Yeah,
he picked her up off the bed?
I think that he picked her up and carried her around quite a bit, Devin.
No!
And lived and tried to, like, make it like they were living together.
No, he did not.
Devin, I think that's what happened.
Did they eat dinner at the table together?
I doubt that this was the first time that he danced with her corpse. I doubt it. Now, when Florinda got wind that this little boy had seen this, she immediately started hard suspecting that he had done something with her sister's corpse. Now, everything together was just, like, too much. So she actually picked up the phone and, like, called the authorities and said that, can you guys check this out? I know it sounds crazy, but I think maybe he's living with my sister's disinterred corpse. So can you check that out? The authorities show up, and what they found was looked like a mannequin or a doll. But upon closer inspection, they realized that this was, in fact, a human body under all of those layers of wax of Elena Oyo.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, in the house, they found that he had this whole mini lab of all sort of concoctions of different disinfectants and deodorants and
An alchemist kind of thing.
It's exactly what it was. And he was using all these chemicals and compounds to preserve her and keep her hidden away, essentially. His house was filled with fresh flowers, also used to cover the order. Now at this point it is 1940.
Oh God.
Isn't that insane?
Oh God.
Yeah. So of course the body was removed. Trigger warning here.
Oh God.
Because there's themes of sexual assault, necrophilia. So you can skip ahead the next 20 seconds.
I skip ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, Devin. Go ahead. So an autopsy was performed shortly after she was discovered and identified the presence of a cardboard or paper tube that had been inserted between her legs into her pelvic cavity, seemingly to mimic a vaginal opening.
Oh.
Now, despite this finding, he never actually admitted to have actually defiled her corpse in that way. But why was the tube there? So to me, it's really, you did do that actually, because that's why there's a tube. That's why you put a tube in there.
Oh,
so there's that. Now, there are pictures, which we're going to post when this episode's available, that were snapped of her body.
We're posting those?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's like, I could try to describe it, but it looks like a mannequin head made out of wax that has painted eyes, eyebrows, and a wig of human hair. It's very upsetting to see. Oh. Now, this is more... It only gets more upsetting from here. So, shortly after the corpse's discovery by authorities, Elena's body was examined by physicians and pathologists, and then, for reasons unknown, was put on public display.
What?
At the Dean Lopez funeral home, where it was viewed by as many as 7,000 people.
Why?
Which is a very, like, sick fact about this whole case. Like, why?
What? You know, why? So they're showing off, like, his work. Like, look how this...
Essentially, like, look at what this man did to this woman. And so it's sad for me because this woman, you know, who died tragically, very young, and just wanted to be probably, like, laid to rest in this nice, like, mausoleum. And just, like, let
her
rest
in
peace.
Leave her the hell alone.
She has not rested. And, you know... What actually ended up happening is that people tried to keep, like, breaking into the funeral home and tampering with her body because it was starting to get some media attention. Like, what? Like, go look at this lady in the window. She's, like, got a wax face because this guy kept her in his house and, like, reconstructed her body.
That's fucked up.
And so what they ended up having to do was remove her and take her to an unmarked grave at an undisclosed location.
What?
Yeah, this poor woman is now in an unmarked grave somewhere because people are awful.
So she couldn't go back to her original mausoleum?
No, because they were afraid that they were going to break in there and tamper with her body.
No. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
Her family knows where she is, right?
I should really hope so. I should hope so. Now, Tansler...
Come on.
I know. Now, Tansler was psychiatrically examined and found to be mentally competent to stand trial. And the charge was wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization.
No kidding.
Yeah. So right now, at this time, there really weren't any laws against, like, tampering with a body and, like, mm-hmm. defiling a corpse. And, like, that was not, like, technically against the law. So this was all that they could charge this guy with.
Right.
You know, no matter how depraved and sick and psychotic this seems to us, they legally, there wasn't any law against keeping a corpse in your home.
So he's just charged with taking her out.
With just stealing her from her grave. Exactly right. Grave robbing, essentially. Now, after a preliminary hearing on October 9th, 1940, at the Monroe County Courthouse in Key West, Tansler was held to answer on this charge, but the case was eventually dropped.
What?
And he was released.
No.
Because at that time, the statute of limitations for the crime had expired. But this was in the same year that he got caught, in 1940. Right. You're telling
me
that
he kept her there for 7 years.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. It was 7 years probably from when the crime was committed, and they couldn't actually charge him with that. Isn't that crazy?
What is the statute of limitations for that? Just out of curiosity.
I honestly don't know. I did not look it up. I don't know. It's not 7 years, clearly. So this case obviously started drawing nationwide media attention at the time, which is why her body got so much attention in the funeral home, which is really wrong. And actually the public...
Well, and shame on the funeral home.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no reason for her to be on display.
It just sickens me. It's very sad for her. Now, the case drew a lot of media attention, and the public was, like, really sympathetic with him.
No.
Yeah. They were very sympathetic. They viewed this as, like, a little weird, but romantic.
No.
Like, that his obsession with her, like, ran so deep that he did whatever he could to, like, keep her, quote-unquote, alive.
No. You go to the mausoleum and you bring those fucking flowers that you had in your home every day.
Yes, thank you.
To the mausoleum.
Yes, thank you. Oh, God. So in 1944, Tanzler finally moved to Pasco County, Florida. Now, this was close to Zephyrhills, Florida, which, if you remember, is where he and his wife Doris lived. Now, his wife is still alive at this point, and actually they reconnected around this time. And she, like, supported him and, like, helped him out and gave him a place to live. And through his later years, they actually, like, stayed. They were, I don't know that they ever, like, were legally married again, but they were close.
Interesting.
I know. So, okay. So, separated from his obsession, which was Elena, Tanzler actually ended up making a replica of what he had constructed. So he essentially constructed like a mannequin, like a life-size doll of Elena, and lived with it for his remaining years. So, like, fashioned it out of, like wax.
And... You know what? Fine. You know what? It's crazy, but at least it's not her dead body anymore.
I mean, exactly. Although...
Oh, come on! What?
So, on July 3rd of 1952, he was found dead on the floor of his home, and he was 75 years old. Mm-hmm. So, there were rumors, like, floating around after he passed that Tanzler, like, left behind notes. I couldn't verify any of this. This is... A lot of this is, like, hearsay... And this is, like, just rumors that are floating around. I don't know if anything, any of this is true at all. But that he stated that he had actually found Elena's grave and that the life-size doll he created of her was actually her. And, like, a bunch of, you know, really weird, crazy stuff. Exactly. I highly doubt it also. Now, there were also rumors that he had sent letters claiming to have poisoned Elena. Not out of malice, but out of, like, mercy and, like, wanting to relieve her suffering. Not again.
I don't know if I believe that either.
I don't think
because he was trying
he
so
that.
Hard to keep her
alive. I don't think he would have done that. So, and again, none of that has been substantiated. Mm-hmm. But that is the crazy story of Carl Tanzler and poor Elena Hoyos, who
in my opinion,
is still not at rest, most likely.
Guys, don't do this at home.
Yeah, this is like a
don't try this at home.
Do a lot of things, but don't do this, for the love of God.
Visit your loved one.
Yeah. Just
bring them flowers.
Yeah. Keep them alive in your memory.
Don't take them home with you with flowers.
After 2 years of decomposing in the Florida heat.
In a radio flyer wagon.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I'm not going to look at my kid's wagon the same. I'm just saying. Kate's known for bringing us the good ones.
I am.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode, people.
Yeah. We love you guys. You can follow us on Instagram at MedCrimes Podcast.
Send us a Twitter at MedCrimes PC.
Or you can search us on Facebook by searching MedCrimes Podcast.
Or if you wish to become a Patreon of our fabulous family woodland creatures. I just said wooded.
Wooded creatures.
You can visit us at www.patreon.com/MedCrimes Podcast.
Also, do you have a crazy story?
This one. Fuck.
Do you know a guy who kept a body in his house? We want to know about it.
I don't want to know about it.
Well, we want to know your crazy stories. You can email us all of your crazy stories. MedCrimes@gmail.com.
See
ya. We love you guys. Keep us going.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.